T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest-running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30-plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler, Cody Grant alongside as well. And always, you guys, you can pick us up, 1250 on the AM, 105.7 on the FM, the radio.com app. And through either of those platforms, you will hear the voice that you're going to hear tonight when you sit down to watch Bucks Heat on Fox Sports Wisconsin. He's a play-by-play man for the Milwaukee Bucks. He is Jim Paschke. Jim, thanks for a couple of minutes. How you doing today?
Hi, Jimmy.
I'm great. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. Jim, we just had a toy drive about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago.
And he was great to give out not two, but three pairs of tickets.
Yes. And he's agreed to give season tickets away next year.
Okay.
No, sure. I wouldn't do that to you, Jimmy. You guys are rolling along. I thought it was a productive road trip, going and taking two or three, considering no Giannis on Friday night, Jim. But still, taking two or three with or with Giannis was a good thing on this road trip.
Absolutely. And there are some calculations, I think, when to give people rest. I think that's one of the great stories of the season that, you know, maybe we're not talking about enough, but Coach Budenholzer has great minute management with this team. He did the same when he had Atlanta and they won 60 games. He takes good care of the players. So, yes, two out of three on that trip is outstanding. And now Miami tonight, Memphis tomorrow night, and then Orlando this week, and back home on Monday. So, a lot of road games coming up between now and the All-Star breaks. It's going to be a test, but they're up to it.
I think the most notable thing, Jim, about the Friday game, obviously, was that Giannis did not play. He comes back on Sunday. The Bucks, a pretty convincing win in Atlanta. When you're watching this team, have these guys figured out how to play without Giannis? I mean, I know there's stretches of times in the game where he doesn't play 48 minutes a night. But when you've got a game where you know you can't depend on Giannis, do you think that these guys know how to play that kind of basketball right now, or is that something they still got to sort of work on and kind of see who's going to be the one to step up and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think first and foremost, you don't want to play without Giannis, most nights. I think he's, missed three games all season, so they don't have to deal with it a lot. He's very resilient and stays healthy so far, knock on wood. But you always have to figure out what to do when somebody's not there. I don't worry about that too much. They won the first two when Giannis was unable to play, so this was the first time they've lost. I've kind of come to the conclusion that coaches know when to do this and when to take a loss if they have to, and when to rest people. So I don't worry about it too much. And I think a speed bump now and then in a season is good. The year that and Bart, you can maybe speak to this. The year that Golden State won 73. They had a lot of miles on them. They had a lot of minutes, a lot of stress, and they didn't do as well in the playoffs. So I think it's all calculated in a way, and I'll leave that to the experts.
Oh, I just sit here every day waiting for someone to ask me about Warriors basketball. Jim, you just made my day. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Jim Paschke joins us here on The Fan.
Hey, Jim, do they ask Giannis, hey, is it okay if we sit you, or does Mike Budenholzer basically say, Giannis, you're sitting tonight, whether you like it or not?
I haven't seen the latter. I see more of the former. And again, it's only been three times, and I'm not sure I've seen all three. But there's always consultation. I mean, there's back and forth. They talk about it, and it's all constructive. And they make their decision. I think it's a game-by-game situation with that, and perhaps with several other players, too. I've seen Coach talk to players about their status and their health, and he certainly gives them input. players on this team have a lot of input, and a lot of consideration is given to them, and that's one of the reasons that they're being so successful.
Man, I was so pumped for that game last Wednesday against the Rockets. And then
the Bucks now.
The Bucks? Yeah, the Bucks, not the Warriors. Okay. The Bucks. I was so pumped for that game. I was not – the Rockets beat the Warriors. I didn't like that. But the Bucks go down to Houston, and I thought that was a big game for – the MVP race, because you've got the Bucks and Giannis going into James Harden's place. You had Giannis put up 27 and 21. You had James Harden, who was very effective from beyond the arc, but missed some key threes late. So I thought, all right, I mean, the conversation better be leaning towards Giannis. I read an article yesterday at the Crossover, and they just laid out all these points for why Harden is still the MVP. I got so mad. Do you not think he's the front runner at this point? And how much do you think Wednesday's game maybe waits on the eventual, you know, announcement on that?
Well, you know, voting is always very tricky to predict when it involves the media. I no longer have a vote, but I certainly keep an eye on those things. When you watch a player like Giannis every night, you tend to see why he certainly could be the MVP in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. But if I had a vote, I'd have to be careful. I would have to pay more attention to other people and you know, thoroughly consider all the candidates. Harden is definitely a candidate. I like the humility that Giannis is bringing to this. We talked about it on Sunday afternoon in Atlanta. I mean, he knows who he is. He knows what he's doing. But after that game, he said, I'm not there yet. So I like that. I think he's taking it all in proper pace. And he knows that if the team keeps winning games, there'll be people that will vote for him, and there may be enough people that vote for him. But it's a good race. I like the humility of Giannis in that regard. I think it speaks to his overall development. So it'll be interesting to watch, but he's certainly – I don't know how he could not be a top two or three candidate.
You know, all the attention that he gets, saw the footage of him in New York and, you know, the Greek fans that came out and saw him outside of Madison Square Garden, and you know, he takes all his time out with fans in Atlanta and all that. How's he handling it? Because I mean, that's like a sidebar to what he's got to do on the court, I guess.
Well, I had no idea there were 82 Greek Heritage Days in the year.
I know.
You know, everywhere we go, I should really say 41, I guess, because everywhere we go on the road, you know, it seems like that is Greek Heritage Night in that particular venue, and good for that team, good for the league, good for Giannis. He handles it so beautifully. He comes out and interacts with the fans that come out on his behalf. He signs autographs daily without fail. I can't say enough good things about him. So anything that comes to him is well-deserved.
Jim Paschke joining us. You will see him tonight, hear him tonight. Fox Sports Wisconsin as the Heat come in to Milwaukee. Heat have beaten the Bucks pretty consistently over the last couple of seasons. Of course, the game at Fiserv Forum. Jim, I'm not big into the Bradley Center memory thing, but you're kind of like the one guy I want to ask about it, because I just think we already did this like 2 years ago, and then now the roof came down and we're doing it again, and then the walls are going to come down and we're going to do it again. I guess, are you surprised with Fiserv Forum right next door and the years of not great basketball that have gone on in the Bradley Center, are you surprised it's being viewed as nostalgic as it is for a lot of people?
In one sense, no. And in one sense, yes. I think if you were here during that period of time, I think there are a lot of people that still, and rightfully so in my opinion, respectfully remember the gift that the Pettits gave to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That was a donated building at a time when, remember, this was within days of Herb Cole buying the Bucks and attempting to keep them in Milwaukee. The building solidified that. So I think there's proper nostalgia for that part of the equation. And, you know, we can debate whether, I mean, obviously Fiserv Forum is spectacular and it's modern and it's what we all deserve at this point in time. But I always hate to, you know, not remember and respect, you know, where we were. We spent 30 years in that building, and win or lose, it was the home of the Bucks. And, you know, the people in that building, the ones that worked there, did a wonderful job. I think the experience for fans was great there. So I understand the nostalgia, but for me it goes back to the to the beginning and what it represented in terms of keeping pro sports, NBA basketball, in Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin.
Although for guys like me and the arena, they only played 20 years in the arena as opposed to, like you said, the 30 years at the Bradley Center. There were more basketball memories in the old Milwaukee arena, the Mecca, than there were in the Bradley Center because there was better teams.
Better teams and a championship, as I recall.
Yeah.
So, sure. I mean, you know, it's all relative, but again, I really think that a lot of people remember the gift and the timing of the gift and what it meant big picture. Had that not happened, we wouldn't be talking about Fiserv Forum.
We
wouldn't have Fiserv Forum. Yep. We wouldn't have a need for Fiserv Forum.
That's why yesterday, Jim, instead of taking Bradley Center memory phone calls, we took Fiserv Forum memory phone calls.
And there you go.
Do you have a favorite Fiserv Forum memory so far?
Opening night, I guess.
Yeah.
The fact that it was built. The day we broke ground on it. Yeah, those are all wonderful memories. And you know, we're just getting started. The best memories are yet to come in that building. And it is perfectly set up for great memories and great times.
I'm just, you know, and I mentioned how the Milwaukee Arena was just a great place. And because I remember basketball at the Milwaukee Arena when, you know, you'd walk to the arena for a playoff game and it was nice outside. And I've told this to Bart and listeners many times. I said, I just want to get back to basketball where you're walking to the facility and it's nice outside. And I think we're in store. I can't wait. April and May could be some potentially great months of basketball here in the state.
Chuck, I like warm weather basketball, whether it's Orlando in January, but there's nothing like warm weather basketball in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Nothing like it at all. You're right. I can't wait for that. And, you know, it'll happen. It'll happen regularly, it would appear, in the next few years.
Jim Paschke, voice of the Bucks. You'll hear him tonight, Fox Sports Wisconsin. Who you got alongside with you tonight, or do you not know till you sit down?
Oh, no, I know. Marcus is coming back tonight. Marcus will work the next three games, and I think Steve Novak is back for the Martin Luther King Celebration Day next Monday at Fiserv Forum.
Well, no matter who you got, you're in good hands usually. Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it, guys. My pleasure.
Jim Paschke, voice of the Bucks, joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Paschketball, one of the truly great Twitter names out there. Great Midwest Bank starts your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. Yasmani Grandal introduced. Just a couple of notes that I wanted to mention on that from some of the tweets that are coming in. Stephen Watson, Channel 12, with this tweet. Grandal called the Brewers one of the most complete teams in baseball. They're built to win, and they're built to win now. Andrew Wagner tweeting about the budget that we talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Mark wants to win, Stern said. Stern says Atanasio wanted him to explore every opportunity possible during the offseason.
Did Mark Murphy introduce Grandal?
Yeah, actually, Grandal hasn't talked yet.
Okay, Murphy's still talking about his hire.
Yeah, Mark Murphy's still talking.
Okay, that he had a hand to this.
Yeah.
And he's taking over Miller Park.
Yeah, and we're going to carry it live for you, but Mark Murphy swears all the time now, so
yeah.
We decided not to do that.
Our dump button. We'd have to have a hand on the dump button the whole time. Did anybody ask Grandal about the NLCS? I'm sure someone's going to ask about the tough time he had in the NLCS.
I wouldn't be so sure that someone does. That's a good question. Will somebody ask him? We're not down there, so we don't.
Well, we are. Well, Billy Schmidt's down there.
Well, you and I aren't.
Okay.
So maybe Schmitty's peppering him. You think Schmitty threw that fastball at Grandal?
I would say no.
Because you know Grandal ain't going to catch it.
Especially if it's in the dirt.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on the Fan. Do it and remind you guys about the men and women over at Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100 in West Dallas, just in between Lincoln and National. They're off Arthur. Hyundai West Dallas, part of the International Autos family, where they have a lot of great vehicles in stock for you. All the assurances, all the discounts, all the savings you could ever want. Hyundai's got those based on the brand of car. And then the dealership over at Hyundai West Dallas, they thought, yeah, I mean, these are some good prices we've got for people, but we want to take a little more off. So those of you that listen to the Fan, do get in there. Do get in there and let them know, hey, I listen to the Fan. They'll say, hey, I listen to the Fan. Discounts and savings on top of that for you guys just by making that connection. They always take care of the people that come in via the radio. So make sure you do that. The service department is great. Got an oil change. I got to get that set up this week. Brian and the butler and the good staff over there, they do a great job. From Sith Lord to Roger to Dan to Chris, the whole crew, Mike in the service department and the sales department, they'll take care of you as well. Hyundai West Dallas, when you want a place to go buy a vehicle that you know you're going to get straight talk, you're not going to get through any of those weird loops or hang-ups or schemes. You just want to buy a vehicle. You want it to be a good vehicle. You want a good price. And you want to be able to have the people that sold it to you look you in the eye. They'll take care of all that for you. Customer service is number one at Hyundai West Allis. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins right here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios is where we broadcast from. 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, radio.com app. Another introduction today, Yasmani Grandal on the baseball side of things. I feel like we've had a lot of introductions lately. Matt LaFleur recently. Coach Budenholzer a while back. We're going to get one for Nathaniel Hackett in the coming days, you would think. Not sure if it'll be the sort of hoopla that it was for Matt LaFleur, where all the stations in the state, TV included, break in for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll hear at some point from Nathaniel Hackett, who comes by way of Jacksonville. What do we need to know about this guy, Mike Dempsey? Jaguars. Jacksonville Radio will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get the lowdown and everything you need to know about Nathaniel Hackett. We like to do that so that you can listen to it and impress your friends, that you know more about the Packers coaching staff than they might. And then one thing I don't want to do today, Chuck, is fan shame. So I'm going to let Steven Richfield do it. He sends us this email live at 105.7 FM, The Fan. He says, guys, with all the change in Green Bay, I find it hysterical that whatever move is made, the listeners, who call themselves fans, become the most pessimistic fans in the world. This is like the draft. You don't know until it plays out. Agreed. Coaches could flame out with the moves, but it's also quite possible they've hit the jackpot. I like the addition of Nathaniel Hackett. People need to remember that Hackett is the son of one of the godfathers of the West Coast offense, worked under Bill Walsh. He also coached the Jags, to the AFC Championship the year before with a far more inferior quarterback than Blake Bortles. The proof will be in the pudding. I don't even, where did that come from? That's a weird phrase. Now it's up to Gutekunst to have a good free agent season as well as a draft. Give us a few starters and depth at O-line. That's from Steve in Richfield.
This Hackett, yeah, look how far that goes back and how it ties in. Ties in with Paul Hackett, who was with McCarthy in Pittsburgh and in Kansas City. And then Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett's dad,
yes,
brought Mike McCarthy in as an assistant on his staff at Pitt.
But then it goes back even further. The inventor of the West Coast offense, Bill Walsh, Paul Hackett worked under him in San Francisco in those early days. So, it goes all the way back to that. The Hackett's go all the way back to Bill Walsh, who was the first guy to come out with his West Coast offense and won Super Bowls with it.
Now, Nathaniel Hackett has never worked with Matt LaFleur. His road took him from Stanford for a few years to the Buccaneers, to the Bills, to Syracuse, back to the Bills as the OC, and then over to Jacksonville, where he's been since 2015, offensive coordinator since 2016. His 2016 season, they were towards the bottom, offensive ranks, points, and stats. Really good in 2017, the year they went to the AFC Championship. Top six in points and top six as well in scoring. Last year, not so great. He got fired on November 26th after the Jaguars lost to the Bills, and they fired him as the offensive coordinator and went a different direction. Nathaniel Hackett, listen to the kind of guys he has coached. I just gave you the teams. Here are the guys. Blake Bortles, Cody Kessler, Chad Henne, Kyle Orton, EJ Manuel, Thaddeus Lewis, Jeff Toole. It's like a race car driver driving in whatever you make at the boxcar derby or whatever the hell that's called in Boy Scouts. I did not do Boy Scouts.
Neither did I.
So I'm not sure what I'm referencing.
Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts.
He gets Aaron Rodgers. He gets the top-of-the-line vehicle here. You go from working with all those quarterbacks. Forget how we feel. Mm-hmm. Forget how the fans feel. How does Nathaniel Hackett feel to now be able to coach up Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, how about that? From his dad coaching way back in the day, Joe Montana, to his son now coaching Aaron Rodgers. Pretty big circle right there that extends all the way out to Rodgers. But, you know, like that emailer said, got to give – we don't know him, LaFleur, even Pettin, okay? He's only been here one season. Let's give them all some time. Give them all a couple of years, 2 years, since before we get a good grasp on how they are going to be. And with some good players, hopefully, that Gutekunst is going to provide with him in the draft and maybe through free agency, too.
Well, you've already got one guy that's happy that Mike Pettin is back. That's Blake Martinez, who was on the big show last week.
His ability to do what he did last year with all of our injuries, put guys into situations where they had the best matchup possible. And I think we had like 10 or more guys have at least one sack on the team. So to be able to have that many guys have chances to be that productive, I think is awesome.
That full interview, 1057fmthefan.com. Click on Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC Highway 100 in Greenfield. You can check out the big show coverage. You can check it out under Packers coverage. If we do something on these airwaves and you missed it, you can go back and find it at any time, including if you're Ken from West Bend and want to listen back to your phone call that you're about to have right now. Kenny, good morning.
Hi, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I actually like the hires. You know, you've got guys, yeah, they didn't come from schemes or teams per se that had great success, but here's the deal. Now you got players that can actually implement your strategy. And job one has to be protect the banged-up Rodgers. Job two, as you do that, you're going to see this offense will take off like there's no tomorrow. And then you got to get your defense in line. But one thing I pointed out yesterday to Leroy, I said, you know what this team hasn't had in a long time? Great special teams. Look at what the Patriots did over the weekend. When they got great field position with their special teams on punts and kickoffs, Brady just took over and did the rest.
Yeah. The punt, you know, defending the punt.
Yep.
Defending the kick. Yeah, well, yeah, and then being, you know, having your punt returner or kick returner take one to the house every once in a while would be nice too.
Yeah, remember the last prolific punt returner we actually had, the legitimate one, was in '96. His name was Desmond Howard.
Yeah.
So we need that desperately on this team if they're going to take it to the next level.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then they let him go. He went to Oakland, and it didn't work out for him in Oakland at all.
Didn't the Packers have Mel Gray once?
No, I don't think they ever had Mel Gray. Johnny Gray. Johnny Gray was a punt returner.
Alan Rossum was here. Who's the other guy I'm thinking of? He was one of the best kick returners of all time. And he came to Green Bay for like in week 17.
Like when?
Was not Mel Gray. It was a guy like Mel Gray.
Like recent years?
No. Oh, my God. It was like in the Sherman years.
Boy, I don't know. I think of Alan Rossum. That guy had some breakaway speed.
I always think of Alan Rossum, too. The guy I'm thinking of that's not Alan Rossum or Mel Gray.
Uh-huh.
They brought him in during the Sherman years. I can't think of it. What do you want to do? You want to take a break? You want to wait for someone to call? You want to just take a break and look it up?
Well, why don't I get to Robert Specialty Beats?
You do that, I'll do this.
January in Wisconsin beats cold nights. Hey, but you know what? That doesn't mean you can't be grilling outside or making some stuff inside with Robert Specialty Beats in Waukesha. Paul Roberts and Robert Specialty Meats, that's the place to shop. If you haven't experienced the Al Capone pork roast from Roberts, well, now is the time to enjoy that tasty combination. The boneless pork loin, the beef tenderloin, the bulk Italian sausage, provolone cheese, smoked ham, hard salami, pepperoni, Genoa salami, mozzarella cheese, all this into one flavorful feast. You put this in your oven on a Saturday or a Sunday, and man, you'll smell it. It'll get in the living room, and then it'll get up to the upstairs or wherever, apartment, a condo. Man, it'll smell up the house, and it'll be a good smell, man. The Roberts Specialty Meats Al Capone pork roast from Roberts, man. I've turned a lot of people on to this. A few firemen in town, a few firehouses have gone out and bought this, and they've said, you know what? They've written me back, and they said, hey, you know what? Right on, player. Good stuff with this Al Capone pork roast from Robert Specialty Meats in Waukesha. But it's just not all about the pork roast, man. They have over 30 varieties of original sausages and brats from mild to hot. They got the hand-cut steaks, the gourmet burgers. They got the delicious stuffed chicken breasts, including their Door County cherry, just oozing with fresh cherry flavor. And again, you put all the stuff on the grill, and it is good to go as well. Give them a call, 262-549-MEAT. But better yet, Paul Roberts and his terrific staff would love to see your smiling face walk through his door, because he's going to help you out. He's going to tell you how to cook this stuff. He's going to direct you, if you have a little get-together, maybe for the football games this weekend, or the upcoming big game that's the first weekend of February. He's going to help you out in that area as well. Hey, I got 30 people coming over. I got 20 people. I got 10 people coming over. Oh, get this. This will help you out, and this is how you should cook it. Paul Roberts, he will do that for you. And if you need stuff vacuum sealed, he could do that for you as well. Paul Roberts, what a hell of a guy, man. He's the mayor of Sunset Drive, and his meats are something special. That's why we talk about it every day here on the show. So if you're going to look to grill out this weekend, maybe some sausages, maybe some steaks, or by all means, put that Al Capone pork roast into your oven this weekend. It's Robert Specialty Meats in Waukesha. Visit them online, robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com. They got some money-saving coupons on there. But for the best of meats, south side of Waukesha, Sunset Drive, it's Robert Specialty Meats in Waukesha, your hometown butcher.
I'm not thinking of Vi Sukahima.
Oh, that might be the former Eagle?
No, he was back. He was here in 91.
That's a long way
there. Don't think I'm thinking of Glenn Milburn.
No.
He was here in 98.
Denver. Give me some other names.
I'm looking for a name.
There's got to be. Here. I just looked it up. The list of all the Packer kick returners and punt returners.
You found it?
Yes.
I can't find that.
Is
it Alan Rossum? No. It's not him.
Know, it might be Rossum is the guy you're looking for.
No. Oh, Earl something. He wore number 20.
Oh,
Metcalf. Eric Metcalf.
Oh, Eric Metcalf. Well, Cardinal.
Woo!
His dad was like Terry Metcalf.
I'm thinking of Eric Metcalf.
That's where you got Mel Gray from.
Eric Metcalf.
Okay.
Was a Packer, right? Right?
Was he?
Yes.
You see
2002.
It?
Bart, you son of a bee.
What the?
You've done it again.
End of the year?
Oh, God. I just love me. I love me. Yes. 2002. They signed him for the playoffs.
That was the year. Was that the year they got beat by Atlanta?
God, I
might have been the year they got beat by Atlanta.
I thought of it all on my own.
Well, their best kick returners, Desmond Howard and Alan Rossum.
Woo!
Of all time.
Make me feel good. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. So is this as excited as we should be about Nathaniel Hackett? We're going to go down to Jacksonville and get the insight from someone who's covered him for the last few years, Mike Dempsey, to join us next. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Eric Metcalf was the kick returner we were thinking of. A lot of Royal Prestons coming in. Quadri Ishmael's. That can't be how you pronounce his name. How do you pronounce his name? Ishmael?
Yeah, that was Rocket's brother.
Yeah.
Rocket
Ishmael. Who won Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Played
in
Notre Dame. Yeah, the Ishmaels. Ishmael? I can't
Rocket
say Jaguars.
Ishmael.
I can't say Falcons.
The Rocket.
I certainly Rahib can't say
Ishmael.
Ishmael. We'll talk to Mike Dempsey, Jacksonville Radio, here momentarily about Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers have a new offensive coordinator. Won't have to call the plays, just basically there to help coach up Aaron Rodgers. Before we do that, let's get to Brian in Bayview. Brian, what's up?
Good morning, guys. It's always a treat to talk to you guys.
Oh, hey, do you live by that ugly house at all? Did you see that ugly house?
Where is this? What
people
city?
In Bayview.
Oh,
in Bayview?
I know which one you're talking about.
People in Bayview are worked up because, you know, Bayview is a very distinct neighborhood. All the houses kind of look like the same, like they're friends. And now there's this new house that one of the aldermen, I believe, is building that looks like it's from the future, and it's planted right in the middle of this old, quaint neighborhood, and all the neighbors are pissed.
So there's actually a new housing in Bayview? That's
well,
hard to believe.
One guy, he like skirted the system.
So he knocked down some 100-year-old house
for
this place?
Yeah, to put up the spaceship.
How dare he do that to Bayview?
Anyway.
I know exactly what house you're talking about. It looks more like a business than a house. It's all glass.
Yeah.
So, like, when did Bayview start becoming trendy? I mean, KK was always like a shot in a beer kind of street, and now it's becoming a trendy spot. I guess nobody knows.
Brian didn't call in to get quizzed on Bayview history.
Okay.
What's your
what do you got?
I don't know if that question was directed to me or just anybody.
I'm
general,
just thinking off the top of my head. I'm just talking to myself.
Yeah, we're just swapping spit.
Yeah. What do you got?
I think Bayview's trying to be like the East Side, but it's a two-part question. With this new offensive hire that the Packers have signed, it just made me think this Packer, it's been a rebuild. Right before our eyes, and no one has noticed that. Think about it. New general manager, new coach, new defensive, new offensive coordinator, new receivers, new tight end, new defensive players.
It's kind of like the Colts.
It's been a rebuild. Cobb, Matthews, Perry, they're on their way out. And then, it's been a whole rebuild, and no one has even noticed that.
Well, that's what happens when you don't make the playoffs for 2 years in a row.
Yeah. For the Brewers, this whole Madison Bumgarner is, for whatever reason, it makes me think of the Cubs and Yu Darvish. If we did that deal, it'd just come back and bite us. And then the Brewers lighted him up a couple times this past season.
Well, Scope, ironically, hit him for a grand slam. Guys, remember that? September on a Sunday afternoon? Yeah, I turned the game around, man. Scopey went grand slam on him.
Brian, appreciate the call. You guys can chime in, 799-1250. We asked you guys on Twitter, what are your initial thoughts of the new Packers OC, Nathaniel Hackett? And Dave just responded, I know nothing about him. Well, that's why we bring in Mike Dempsey from Jaguars Today down at 1010XL in Jacksonville. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're trying to get a little bit to learn about the new offensive coordinator who you've had some experience with, Nathaniel Hackett.
Because we got to pretend like we know everything about this guy.
Yeah.
When we're cramming on it, right when he's hired.
Exactly. So can you give us a little thumbnail sketch on what this guy's all about?
Yeah, look, I think he's a guy who wants to be more creative in the passing game than the Jaguars probably wanted him to. Is an odd kind of a fit, I thought. You know, the Jaguars' philosophy, as restated during the season by Executive Vice President Tom Coughlin, is they want to play good defense, run the ball, hit you with big play-action passes. I think in a perfect world, Nathaniel Hackett wants to embrace some of the more modern concepts like the Packers have been doing, spreading teams out with a lot of wide receivers and getting creative with route concepts and stuff like that. The big knock, I guess, if you could say is a knock on Nathaniel Hackett, is the support that he showed for Blake Bortles over the last couple of years. Now, I get it. You want to kind of boost your guy and talk him up a little bit, but he was seemingly a devotee of believing that he could turn this guy into something, at least serviceable at the NFL level. And at times he did. I mean, Blake had some of the best stretches of football that he ever played under Nathaniel Hackett. But Blake's problem is he's just way too inconsistent. I think the interest shown by Green Bay, not only Green Bay, but Detroit as well, indicates that people around the league understand the situation that he was put in. He was put in to what was kind of a bit of an archaic offense with a quarterback that had major accuracy issues. I don't know how anybody could really shine in those circumstances.
Talking with Mike Dempsey, 1010XL down in Jacksonville, host of Jaguars Today, about Nathaniel Hackett, who was fired in November as the offensive coordinator and now looking for jobs, and he's going to get one here in Green Bay. This offense, it's a lot of Blake Bortles. When you look at the Jaguars, you think of Leonard Fournette a little bit over the last couple seasons, but also Blake Bortles. Yet they were good the year before he got fired, the AFC Championship year. The points were high per game, the yards per high per game. When they were rolling, was that more Fournette? Was that more Blake Bortles? When the Jaguars' offense was at its peak, why was it so good? And how much of that was, do you think, Nathaniel Hackett's influence?
When they're at their best, Blake was amazing in the red zone last year. If you go back and look at his red zone numbers, you're like, who is this quarterback? But I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of their offensive success in 2017 was due to their defense. The defense, by the way, if you're just looking at the point totals, defense scored 7 or 8 touchdowns that year. I mean, it was ridiculous. It seemed like basically every other week they were taking one back to the house and setting them up with a lot of short fields. But they were very effective in the red zone. They did have the threat of Leonard Fournette. And while he only averaged 3.9 yards a carry, that physical presence was a tone setter for them. It's part of the reason they were so effective in the red zone. I don't know what you can really take away from his experience in Jacksonville, because I don't think you're going to line up whoever it is, Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, in the power eye and try to run him downhill 20 times a game. And I think he tried to adapt as best he could with what he had to work with. I mean, there are no Pro Bowl-level receivers or anything close to it. They were playing without Allen Robinson in 2017 as he had torn his ACL. So, I think their success was predicated mostly on efficiency in the red zone, which I'll give them some credit for that. I mean, you're coaching your players and putting in a scheme and calling plays that you think are going to be effective in that area. But quite frankly, I think the defense, as much as anything, needs to get some of the credit for the offensive success for just setting themselves up in such good position.
Well, you know, since he was only averaging like 18 points a game and he got fired there late in November, and I think coming to Green Bay, somebody might look, geez, he couldn't hack it in Jacksonville. So why would we? Why would we want him in?
Of course.
Why would we want him in Green Bay? So I mean, could it be one of those cases too? Yeah, I mean, if he had some, you know, he's working with much better quarterbacks. Same with LaFleur, who was working with, you know, he's working with guys who are injured. Mariota, for the most part, injured most of the season. Give him some more guys to work with, and this guy might be a pretty good offensive coordinator.
Well, let me tell you that when they fired him, I think a lot of people felt like it was one of those situations where you got to make a change and you can't fire the player because the money on Blake's deal wasn't going to make that. You know, you're not going to cut Blake Bortles at that point. They benched him. They did him at the same time. But really, if you look at what Nathaniel Hackett had to work with this year, he was down to his fourth left tackle, literally the fourth left tackle. The first three had gone out. At one point in the season, they were down to the right guard among their starters. Fourth left tackle, backups at left guard, center, and right tackle were playing. They lost their tight end very early in the season. Who knows what Austin Sperry and Jenkins would have provided, but they were counting on him to be their primary pass catcher as well as primary run blocker in the offense. They had lost Marquise Lee in training camp and preseason to another ACL injury. He really, and of course Leonard Fournette was more out than in the lineup all season long. He was playing with a stacked deck against him, I felt, and he put on top of that the accuracy issues that Blake Bortles had this year. There were times when he dropped back and he could not hit a 5-yard pass that was right in front of him. I don't know what, as an offense coordinator, you can do to improve that fundamental level of poor play when you're in the season. I mean, if you've got a quarterback who has to constantly go back and get his mechanics tinkered with, that's probably not the long-term solution. I think it was a case of something had to change. The Jags tried to shake it up as best they could in a desperate kind of attempt to make a late season, postseason run, and it just didn't work.
Mike, one of our beat writers covered Hackett in Syracuse and was telling some stories last night on Twitter about how, you know, smart guy, good football acumen, but he's also so emotional during the post-game interviews that the sports information directors had to tell him stop swearing in these things because he'd be so fired up. Is he still as fiery as he might have been when he was at Syracuse? And do you think this personality will mesh with what you know about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, to me, he's not like a pound-the-table kind of personality. The personality I always saw from Nathaniel Hackett was very engaged. Not, I want to say manic. You know, he was very high energy, but always in a positive way. And look, I got to believe he understands the score up there. Aaron Rodgers dictates a lot of what is going to go on in Green Bay, if not most of it. If anybody else were in his same position, they would want the same kind of power, having the body of work that Aaron Rodgers has. So I don't think he's going to come in and try to reinvent the wheel here. He's not going to say, hey, let me tell you what my experience with working with Blake Bortles has taught me about how to tell you how to play the game of football. I think he'll look to work together and be a big advocate for Rodgers and a big supporter, just like he was for Blake in Jacksonville. He never struck me as a guy whose energy or emotion was anywhere close to out of control or anything like that. He was really always a fun, enjoyable guy to talk to. Love talking football. He'd talk until the cows come home, but I think he's smart enough to realize he's got a great opportunity. He just basically fell upwards to the Green Bay Packers and having the opportunity to work with Rodgers, and I think he'll do everything he can to make Aaron comfortable.
That's Mike Dempsey. You can follow him on Twitter, MD_1010XL. He hosts a Jaguars daily program down there on that radio station. We thank him for his time here this morning as Nathaniel Hackett recently fired from there, but now with the Green Bay Packers. More on that throughout the week. Good talk to Charlie Casserly tomorrow as well around 9:30, NFL Network, a former GM in the league and former roommate of Mark Murphy. So that should be interesting to find out the details on that coaching search, which he was involved in. You guys can be involved in the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. It's available at Perkins starting on Monday. So the Bart's Breakfast Special is back. It's just a different name this time, and we don't know what it is yet because you got to vote on it. So the voting will start tomorrow. I'll throw out some of the options again on Twitter today at 105.7 FM The Fan. That's where you will be able to vote. There's going to be three different breakfast options, including what it's always been. It's always been this meal of hash browns or pancakes and sausage and eggs, and that will be an option. But there's also some biscuit options, some chicken biscuits, some sausage biscuit options too. And you're going to vote what you want it to be, and that will be the discounted deal that you can get at Perkins starting on Monday. You can get a discounted deal tonight for the kids, discounted all the way down to free. Kids eat free on Tuesdays and Saturdays. After 4 o'clock, you get a meal, they get a meal for free at Perkins. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. Cody Grant, you get 3 minutes to tell us everything we did not cover on today's really fantastic show. All available on our podcast. Take it away, young Cody.
Well, getting closer to Championship Sunday for the NFL playoffs. And one game a lot of people for sure will be looking into is Patriots at Chiefs. And this came out, according to the National Weather Service, the Arctic blast is set to settle over Kansas City. Temperatures at kickoff could range from 10 degrees to well below zero. And that could potentially make it the coldest game in Arrowhead Stadium history.
So does that help New England or does that help Kansas City, do you think?
Boy, I mean, they're used to cold temperatures. New England's played in a ton of cold conditions. I would think it would be colder in New England than Kansas City, but I'm not Tom Walks here breaking down meteorology. So I don't know. Nothing can beat how cold it was. Remember the Packers in the 2007 NFC Championship game against the Giants? Remember how cold that was? A woman died. It was so cold. Tom Coughlin's face is still red because of that day.
Nothing like talking about death with an instant joke to follow.
Oh, well, yeah.
I didn't know the woman died. I don't think
I
remember.
Yeah, it was
that.
A school teacher up in like West Bend.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, she passed out, and I think she passed away. Yeah. Yeah. Not good.
So why doesn't the NFL just move the game to Monday or something? Because they want to do that eventually, I'm telling you. They want to move Sunday to Monday.
Well, they're not going to do that because of cold. The Packers played the Carolina in cold conditions.
Why don't they move the game to Miller Park? That's what people want to do when it might have rained in game 163.
Well, then I'm good with that.
No, I'll just move it to Miller Park. Just move it to Miller Park.
Just knock down that beer garden out there and you got 100 yards.
Or just play in a dome.
Yeah, play in a dome. You know what I didn't realize? Billy Joel is here the night of the draft.
The NBA draft?
The NFL draft, day two.
The NFL. Oh, you know what? I think the Brewers are home. Are they in Chicago that weekend?
Well, they're not at home.
No, they're not at home.
Unless they're trying to do two things at once.
Yeah, no. They're away. They are away.
Cody, all that prep, you get one more story.
One more story? All right. I mean, I'll just ask this question, because where do you guys think Nick Foles will play next year?
Where do I think he's going to play?
Yes.
Philadelphia.
Really?
Why wouldn't he?
Over when still?
Well, I mean, they win with, it's not his fault that the ball went through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey. Man, that one's on Jeffrey.
So I don't think any way Eagles bring back Nick Foles.
If you're
next
on
year.
WIP over there, you're talking, you want Foles over Wentz?
So they're talking about. No, I mean, Foles, they win with Foles. They do. They win with
he
Foles.
He can't deny that. They do win with him.
It's so weird because he's not good.
Wentz, he's not, what do you mean he's not good?
Like, okay, if you're going to take Wentz or Foles, you're taking Wentz.
We can talk more about this tomorrow. Thrilling Hook. Bill Michaels up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.